Well, now to a guest for whom June marks a real professional and personal milestone. 12 months ago, Chris Cuff, the former head of the financial house Colonial First State, set up the Third Link Growth Fund, with all of its management fees going to charity. So the question becomes, in these most volatile of times, how is Third Link and its founder faring 1 year on? And it would be remiss of me not to find out, when does one of Australia's most successful money managers expect the return of better times for everyone? After all, the headlines are still reflecting very mixed predictions. Traders to re-emerge from hibernation, said one this week, while another said something completely different. Downturn about to change gear. So, Chris Cuff, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Is the Third Link Growth Fund the same as other funds except for the management fees going to Social Ventures Australia, which is a not-for-profit, to distribute to charities? Is it essentially the same?
It's a little different in that it's an Australian equity fund and it does invest in other funds, so it's known as a fund of funds. Mm. But the difference is I don't have to be invested just in Australian equities. So if, for example, I think the Australian equity market is going to fall, I can have a high cash weighting. Because I guess we know that most equity investors, they're lured by the returns of equities, but I bet they wish they didn't have to go through the falls all the time.
Mm. So you've got quite a lot of discretion, in other words.
That's correct.
But you're not an ethical investment fund. People might have thought, if you're giving your money to charity, that that's what you are. Strictly speaking, you're not that, are you?
That's correct. We invest in anything that's available for investment in Australia or the world. So it's not an ethical fund in that sense. But you're right, giving the fees away, people might think, well, that's a different form of an ethical fund.
Mm. Now, you'd hoped that the Third Link Growth Fund would be closed by now. You've got $28 million under management, I think it is, so far, wherein the target is actually $150 million. So people have been cautious, sceptical about it, do you think?
I think cautious is absolutely the correct word. That 28 million, most of that came in a single 2 week period last May of last year.
And that was before that big deadline, June the 30th deadline.
Well, it was, but also if you go back into the records, May last year was a very good month for investing. So people's enthusiasm was coming back. And then almost immediately after that, the world financial woes really accelerated.
Sure.
And virtually people lost confidence investing in equity markets. So this fund, together with most other funds around Australia in the retail market, they just saw all their inflows dry up overnight.
So you did not launch at the best possible time, I must say. I presume if you get $150 million, you can sort of give about $1 million back, can you, to Social Ventures?
Well, it's even more than that. So we wanted to bring the fund size up to $150 million and close it off at that stage, because that was then doing what we set out to do. It would be providing around $2 million a year as a minimum to the non-profit sector through the work of Social Ventures Australia.
And how's the fund performed thus far?
Well, it's been a rocky year. We've had a good performance, relatively speaking. So we've beaten the All Ordinaries Index, which is the barometer for the Australian share market, by over 17% for the year. But we have lost value on paper. So we're down about 15%. Or slightly less than that, 13%. So it's a good news, bad news story. But relatively speaking, we're doing very well, which shows the latitude the fund has had is we're really capitalising on that.
Have you invested in it yourself?
Substantially.
Substantially, right. Okay. Is there a typical investor to the Third Link Growth Fund? I mean, a person who likes the idea of management fees going to charity?
Look, I think the investors are in two baskets, because this fund certainly has a philanthropic angle about it. So, yes, some philanthropists say if we're investing in managed fund, this one, if it's as good as any on the investment side, then it gives us a good feeling on the philanthropic side. So there's that. But there's also a following who says, look, it doesn't matter on the philanthropic side. We judge this to be as good an investment as others around town, providing it suits their financial needs. So some look at it for investment, pure investment. Others are happy with the philanthropy side.
And do you build up the philanthropy side? Is it a draw card these days to investors or not?
I think it is a draw card. This is an unusual fund. It's the only one of its type in Australia. And many people have said to us, gee, this is really innovative. This is bringing the business world to the philanthropy world in a different way. So I think they are turned on about it. But people will not invest in Australian equity markets just for the feeling of philanthropy, I suspect. Mm. They've got to feel good about investing in the first place, and it's got this type of fund needs to suit their needs. And then from there, they have a wide selection of funds in the marketplace, and they may favour this one on the philanthropic angle, all other things being equal.
What's your minimum investment people can make?
So the minimum investment for this fund is $20,000.
Okay. So it's they're not little investors you're talking about. They're people with a bit of money, you know.
People with a little bit of money, that's for sure. And people can access it with their superannuation as well. So there's a superannuation option.
This is a nice segue, really, into how you read average investors. I mean, you're a super, I call you a super investor, but you've got to look on at the climate around you, and gosh, there's so many differing indicators as to how people ought to be, as are just those headlines I quoted. How do you read where we sit at the moment?
It's one of those times where you get a lot of grey hair. We all know that. I think this has absolutely shaken people to the core. I mean, if you've lived through the 87 crash or the early 70s. This is right up there with those in terms of the feelings of fear and emotion. I mean, if you turn back to October last year, which has been widely reported, people really didn't know where the end was. So confidence has been really, really shattered, more than I've seen in most of my career. And it'll take a while to build it up again. We know markets move wildly at the extremes with the fear and greed, and this was fear in its absolute worst way.
It's interesting, though, because, I mean, a lot of us are watching on and looking and learning. It's as if now the market seems to be recovering. I know it goes up and down, but people like Frank Gelber, who's a very respected economist at BizShrapnel, says we really are heading now for our toughest 12 months on the ground in the economy. So there's this disconnect. I suppose you're used to that, are you? But I think a lot of Australians looking on are a bit puzzled.
Yeah, look, there is always a lag between what happens in the real economy and what happens in the stock markets, because the stock markets try to anticipate. So they're looking ahead the whole time by something between 6 months and 18 months. It's not an exacting science. So we know even as stock markets might start to be going up, the real economy might be going through even tougher times. So it wouldn't surprise me to see unemployment rising in the second half of the year, and yet the stock markets might be doing well. And that's only because the stock markets will be anticipating the end of a recession and the start of growth. And that's really what markets are all about.
Finally, I wonder how you think people will react to President Obama's announcement of these tighter regulations, some of which were bailed out because they were too big to fail. I think there was another phrase. There's another sort of proper term, but it was too big to fail. Too big to be restructured, I think it was. Now, do you think that, in fact, this will give confidence?
Look, I think it's part of a healing process. Whenever you go through a period where there's been huge excesses, and there no doubt had been huge excesses, then if the government has to step in around the world, then it's purely within the ambit of the government to then re-regulate and to change things. And I think what we have seen this time round is a lot of bad financial practices and a lot of greed at play, and the government having to step in, and so it will wind things back. I mean, greed is always going to be a part of human nature, but it's got to be, and that won't go away. But what will change is the framework with which people can work in to keep that capped.
Well, let's hope there is more. I mean, I just think confidence is generally better to have around. So, Chris Cuff, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Chris Cuff from the Third Link Growth Fund, and he's working with Social Ventures Australia.